when that happened. And most will not even know why. I just needed to come over here. I just needed to touch. And I'll go back then to the feelings that Doris has. I use her as an example a lot because a lot of things, if I can materialize it into a reality in her mind, then I can judge a little bit better myself as to where we are in understanding. And she will say, "You're always there every time I call." And therefore, she's very careful never to call. And she's learned long since never to ask for a thing. Although she will sneak it in. "Let little crow get rich, because I know he'll share." And he already knows they will. "I'm just praying for my brother. All my relations, just let us all be rich. It will solve so many problems." "I know it will. Yes, it will. I hate to be the one to tell you the mere facts of living is that it will be better rich." So don't deny it. Allow it to happen. God is abundance. But you have to give a reasonable excuse to those around you why you have it. And we cannot build a bank, of all things, without it. So let's get it. Let's open our hands and receive it. Unless you receive it, the gift is not a gift. It still belongs to the one who offers. God is constantly offering. And you keep your hands like this. Why not turn them like this? Everybody wonders in meditation, why do those people sit around like this? Well, they've got that part of it right. Why do they sit with their hands up? Or in Pentecostal, they'll do this. The facts are, I don't know what they're doing.
Catching basketballs.
But they have the right idea. This is a form of receiving. This is a form of blessing and receiving. This is an open form of giving as well as receiving and accepting the responsibility of either one. And I hear some say, "Now he's going to get on the spiritual kick." Right. The spiritual truth of the moment is the moment. You have a choice every moment. You can choose to live or die in the physical form, every breath. Just quit breathing if you don't like it here. You'll find out how quickly you appreciate that breath. What an interesting experiment in living. To be able to experience walking, driving, riding, anything you're going to do in this human consciousness, even if it seems negative to you and unfair to you. God was never, ever necessarily fair. But God's self is infinitely just. And you'll make sure that that is so. "Oh, no, not me. I mean, I've been unfairly treated. It's injustice. The system's bad." Yeah, the system is bad. You want God to change it? Yes, sir. T-U-F. God didn't make that system. If it has a negative connotation or reality to it, you made it. God did not make anything really either unfair or unjust. Well, you're wrong about this. I know more about this than you do. This is one I really get. I make a suggestion. No, I know more about this than he does. Fine, you go do it your way. And you have just told me what you really think of me. And I can tell you what I really think of you. If you don't want to be around me, who's going to make you healthy, wealthy, and wise, then go thee from me. It's simple. Get up and get out. Do you see? You're not held here by anything but self. Well, I'm too embarrassed to get up and walk out. You dodo brain. And then stay put. And maybe by the time we get through, we'll understand each other better. That nobody here is ever going to either do it for you or cram it down your throat. And about the highest penalty you will ever have to pay in this room is to eat cake. And I like an annual meeting where all of you get sick to death of it. But don't you see, that is part of the beauty of the camaraderie of becoming something. You can't take your little contract out there and just wave it around and expect anything but flies to land on it. Or bird poop. It's better to hold it vertically. It's harder to hit. These are the best of times. There are no worst of times here. These are the best of times. Oh, but they're certainly trying. Are they really? What else would you be doing? What else would you be doing? You are bored out of your minds. Well, yes, that's why we want to do more, and I want more responsibility, and I want to manage something. What do you want to manage? Well, I don't know, but I'm sure I'm a good manager. Well, you're not going to manage any of my stuff, and I heard that. You see, now they're going to start giving away their jobs because what you perceive is interesting, they know what it is. And this is our family. Can't we be generous with our family? Can't we be loving and giving enough to forgive the ones who aren't too bright? Because, you see, they're only not too bright to us who are so smart. But there are some things all of you need to learn as far as communication from brother to sister, from husband to wife, from parent to child. If you're going to act like a bigger ass and child than the child, then you deserve whatever you get from them because they're smart enough to put you through those paces. They will do it. Until you train it out of them. They know you. And they finally get smart enough not to tell you what they know about you. And then finally you insist that they put it aside because you can't live with their image of you. I get along fine with them. And yet a parent can only do what a parent knows to do. And so you have to be open to learning. And I don't care what you want to say about anything. I don't want to talk about this blood love. Oh, I love you because you're my mother. That is also bullshit. You develop respect. And you develop it to the point that you respect yourself. And then they will respect you. You people, you move into everything in your little world in total selfishness, calling it giving and love and whatever you want to put on it as a label. I will cherish you forever. I'm not interested in you cherishing me forever. Just respect me, and you will come to love me forever. Because I have nothing of worthiness to offer you except my respect for you and my love for you and my acceptance for you. The cherishing is because of all those things. And when you give in to the whims of personality and then you wonder why the world's not good to you, remember again, you're thinking about who? Me. What have you done to me? Well, I need it, and I've got to have my space, and I've got to this, and I've got to that, and look what he did to me, or look what she has caused me. Why don't you look at self without all those excuses? And why don't you reach out and simply communicate? A little child, a parent says, "You hit Johnny. You tell him you're sorry." "I'm sorry." Do you really think he's sorry? He wouldn't have socked the kid in the first place if he didn't intend to. So you make liars of your own children, and you grow up into adulthood lying and cheating, and it's on yourself. You only hurt the other. You only hurt emotionally the other, their feelings. The one you've damaged, the self. Every time, without exception. I just don't know. I've gotten to be the age of 72. I've had 8 wives, and I don't know why they leave me. I am always good to them. All I ask of them is that they change the tires and light the fire and do the ironing, do the wash, have my supper ready. Tend the kids. Don't interfere with my music. I don't know what's wrong with her.
She doesn't know her place.
Right, Paul.
No, I'm leaving.
Hurry back. We'll get him while he's gone.
He just gone for more nuts.
Whatever. You have to honor and respect. It's nice, oh goodness, it's nice when two people become friends. Because as friends, you're able to overlook and accept these quirks. I mean, after all, a friend, you can say good night and go away. It's like grandchildren with responsible parents. Grandparents can get even with all their kids forever with what they do and then send them home. A husband cannot run away. Doesn't mean he won't, but he can't. Because each of you who make a commitment to another party, and I'm not talking about that silly little paper. I'm talking about that commitment that you make, one heart to another, that sounds so sweet and so dear at the moment you're saying it. It lasts about 20 seconds until you're crossed. Well, I guess I was single too long. I guess, well, my other wife did this or that. So let's blame the new one. I mean, after all, she's probably been married too. And she probably did this to him. And it was worse even than whatever I did to my first. Can't you get your wet rag and wipe off that slate and treat that other human being who liked you and respected you enough to make a commitment to you? Can you not respect that human being enough for their own taste of choosing you to come through in responsibility and honest behavior. Well, you know, we get old and we get fixed in our ways and we get tired. Wouldn't it be better to get set in your ways that bring you joy? Why do you have to continue to punish yourself along with that other? Well, because life is not working out like I wanted it to. Why isn't it? And why did you choose that one if that wasn't going to be what you wanted? Well, I just didn't know. I was blind. You're not blind. That's stupid. And any time that you want that other one to fill up the holes in you, you better think about something. You have moved into the space of that one. It doesn't matter which way. And we don't even have to bring up sex or, you know, I'm talking about man-woman type of thing, not sexuality. Someone made the first step to come into someone's space. Now, that someone was already pretty well established because simply the facts are that they are wherever they are that you step over here into their space. It doesn't necessarily mean they're right or wrong. Why did you step into their space? They were getting along without you. Why would you come and captivate, motivate, and romanticize something if all you really wanted was to be free to do what you wanted to do anyway? Well, she can't leave me because I have this contract. Can't she? She's already left you. Don't you understand it? Ladies and gentlemen, the split is already made. The moment anything is done that absolutely destroys the respect and the trust. I trusted you to be honest with me, and you weren't. I don't know if I can get over this. I will try. And then if you are smart enough, you will sit and communicate with each other. And I don't mean go screw around. I mean communicate. What annoys you? What has bothered you? What has hurt you? What is really going on with you that you had to do this or that or the other? Especially, why did you lie to me? And be honest. Tell the other why. Who is brave enough to tell the other why? I really don't know, is the answer. And you know what? You really think you don't. But you do. And why should you expect someone else to fulfill your lack? I mean, she probably took you, hopefully, to fulfill some of her lack. And so both of you are incorrect. And most people around here really get irritated when I get on the subject of interrelationships, interchild, inner child. Inter means a relationship with others. Inner means a relationship with self. And you will always find, invariably, no matter how old you are, but the older you get, the more you're going to recognize it is the inner self, not the inter self. And you have two choices here. You see, life is nothing but a series of choices. Every thought, there are choices about it. But the day that you say, hey, I really, really care about you, and I make mistakes along the way, please let that stand in our way. You wouldn't have made that choice if you didn't need something. So what is it you need? But if it's to fulfill you into a whole human being, That one can't do it. That one can help, and that one can support, and that one can be there, and that one can forgive, and that one can suggest, and that one can argue, fight, until you both hate each other. Or you will come into an understanding of the importance of this relationship and this commitment that you have made. And you people are so foolish as to make those loud, dumb commitments in front of everybody else. So that everybody can see you've been dumb the minute you have trouble. And it always happens. You are not the other person. You may be one in goals, in relationship, whatever you choose. You are a fragment out of a different environment. Now you're thrown together and suddenly you're supposed to make this magic. Whether it's lust or love, it makes no difference. You're supposed to make the fireworks and the magic and take care of me, love me, honor me. While the other one's thinking, I thought it was obey me. I had the wrong ceremony paper. And I watched these children start out. Good example yesterday with Jeff and Alicia. I am so thankful they made their commitment privately. And they had their party yesterday. Because they didn't have to lie to anybody. And you're going to find that starting out, well, God, I didn't know he was going to sleep all over my side of the bed. And he's saying, but darling, I just love you so much. I've got to be on your side of the bed. I don't want you on my side of the bed. This is my space. For years I got along just really well without you on my side of the bed. And at 3:00 in the morning, man, this is important. And especially in the wintertime when it's cold and he has all those covers. And good Lord, he snores. Don't you understand that you embark on an adventure? It's sort of like U-Haul, adventures in moving, and it's usually on that truck that is boiling over with steam, and you know it's not going to go another inch, and you think, and this is my adventure in moving. It is 115 here on this hillside. What have I done? I guess I better undo it. Well, unless you can communicate, you may as well undo it the moment that thought crosses your mind. Because it will undo itself. You're there, oh, but God doesn't sanction that, you know. I mean, I made a commitment to God. No, you didn't. You made a commitment to that other person. Leave God out of it. And no, what I'm getting is, well, he's not talking to me. I am. I'm talking to you who even have thought about it. How are you going to restructure and grow up through an existing society with a better way if you can't get yourself under control enough to have at least your closest relationship work? You have grown to expect things that are not rational, logical, or realistic. There is not going to be anyone on the face of the earth wanting to become your slave. No man or woman ever enters a relationship thinking, oh, I'm going to be his slave forever. I'm going to love every moment that he beats me. I am so in love. That's called a sick addiction. And You've all done it. I would say we've all done it, but I like to think that I didn't, but I did. So you don't need to make excuses to me. And that has nothing to do with me. You must come to understand that spiritual truth will cause you, guide you, become your realistic modus operandi to think of that other person in the context of always saying, what is this doing to the other one? Think of every action. I've got to get out of here. What is that going to do to the other? Just think about it. I'm not putting anybody on the spot. You put yourself on the spot. And some say, God, I'm glad I'm not married. I didn't do any of those silly things. Oh, yes, you did. Except you kids, and you're thinking about it. Oh, I'm going to grow up and be rich and get married and have babies and all of these wonderful, and live happily ever after in Wonderland. Won't ever happen. But it can be better. It can be better than anything you thought of in lust. And if you're blessed with a relationship where you can share, indulge yourself. And if you are beginning on relationships, step out there beyond what you want to do, and that is keep all of this private inside. But there are things to keep private. Other men or women in your life, whatever you did before, don't fall for this sucker deal. I think we should just be honest with each other. If you have AIDS, tell them. Otherwise, keep your damn mouth shut. Why do you want to hurt this other one? This one that loves you. Do you want this picture of you screwing around with somebody else in front of their vision field? Why do you do this to each other? Oh, well, we're just trying. We have this open marriage and we're just going to share and tell everything. Then you're sick. You are sadistic. You don't lie about it, but you don't rub it in. And then when the little ones come, be patient with them. Honor them. You see, you don't begin to truly honor these little entities until you are old enough to understand, and that takes so long that the child is usually grown before the parent can see the difference. This is why the little grandchildren usually fare so much better than the child, because the parents grow up. These are the entities, these are the energy forms, these are the young people with the hardest job in the history of the world before them. To get you home. To experience in this chaos and turn their lives over to the possibility of being shot just to be in the street. This is sick. Nobody says they want it. And yet that's what you do. You are so immune to violence that you watch all of this stuff on television. How is a child going to know that isn't what to do for the evening? Everything else is pretty boring that you people come up with doing. You're so attuned to violence. And you're so attuned to the virtual reality that you have no concept of the reality. And I've just proven my point. The reality is so far removed from your experience that you lost that so long ago that that's what your searching is about. You've misplaced starting with God. You've misplaced God because these people come along and they set themselves up as authority figures, and oh my goodness, they must be right. They say they are expert in this field. And they preach on Sunday and they say they get this inspiration from God. I wonder, it's all right for Robert Schuller to get this inspiration, but not Doris Ecker or Little Quo. They are cultists. You have to get your thinking in the right order, or you're never going to have good personal or business relationships. And you have to remember, you do not know what's in the heart and soul in need of another. I can use this as an example right here in this place. I've got a small handful of my people that I pull out almost every day. And that puts a little bit more load on ones that might be in the other office. Well, TUF, I don't know what you're doing in that other office, but I have a mission that can change your world. And I believe that that is more important than your presence in a chair in an office. There will never be businesses here structured like anything anybody else has ever seen. So as long as you try to structure businesses all over the place like they've been, forget me. It will not be that way. Everything will be run according to business. Good business. Integrity. And willingness. Let's take a break.
That's a good idea.
Ann or Wood be here tomorrow. I'm going to take up at 10:30 in the morning. Looks like enough sweet rolls to choke you all. So you can come a little earlier and get sugar overload. And then you'll be really receptive to whatever I have to tell you. We need to do this. This is what we're about. And finally, we're beginning to be able to be in a position to begin to talk about some things with some more recognition of probability of being able to accomplish it. Every time you start dealing with specifics, you run into the fact that those ideas can all be set aside and will be usually by your enemy. So we now have enough things going that one way or another there will be a breakthrough here. And I personally do not want anyone coming out here thinking, oh, well, I'll do this and I'll do that and I'm now going to be here. No, it's going to be tighter than soup as we move off into this next adventure. So don't abruptly do anything. And don't say, oh, well, hoopy-doo, they're finally going to do something and I'll have my place. If you are here, it is because you want to be here, because I will never ask you to be here unless I can see a way to actually make sure that everything that you wish would come to you. It's been a hard time. It isn't any easier. This very week, we've got more court trials all the way to Nevada, northern Nevada. There isn't even time to get well from an illness. So obviously, there's not going to be any massive, oh, money is raining from heaven on us this week. There are so many things to be done in between to make sure these things come into fruit of that tree that is overwhelming to the ones having to accomplish this. And it's having to be accomplished on this side of the world, on the opposite side of the world, and then over here in another side of the world. It was a good week for a UPS strike. It botches up all the rest of the communication system. So once again, for these ridiculous reasons, you are put on hold. So I want each of you to be thinking what it is you are after. What it is you really are about. What is your goal? If it is just to make money for yourself, there are going to be easier ways to make money for yourself than to annoy yourself with our restrictions. Because there's going to be little that anyone's going to do that anybody else is going to approve of. And then the ones who are responsible are going to take responsibility. And everybody else, whether you like it or do not like it, there is a reason that it is that way. I know upon whom I can rely. And in any incident, any spending, any project, any proposal, everybody has their own personal idea. And without knowledge, people make their opinions known. And it usually is on personality. I know my workers. It's going to be this way. I hope you agree. If you don't, sayonara. You're in my space. But you know what? You're all going to agree. Because you're going to be able to think out. And when you ask for input and wisdom, you will get it. And it isn't that you're not going to be thinking of me and what I'm going to appear to be and what I can be to my people and my friends, and I'll show them. Some of that is going to come through. That's human. But don't count on good old Commander being good old Commander. If we don't do a better job than what is already existing, we aren't worthy of the responsibility of this mission. And we've passed into this day. We're into our second segment, our second decade. And this is a do it time. You're running out of years before the millennium. And many things come to conclusion at the change of the millennium. Does it have to be that way? No, but it always is. I cannot ask these people to be here past Wednesday. They have to get to Nevada. It's extremely important. This particular hearing is extremely important. And the next question might be, well, can we go? It's open court. Anybody can go who wants to. I'll tell you what the case is about, and then that might give you some reason to consider or reconsider whatever it is you think. There's no case at all. David Horton, attorney for Betty Tootin, claims that Mr. Ellie, who is the attorney of the Institute and the Eckers in this particular instance, and please, Ron, make a note. This is extremely important. Whether or not Nevada corporate headquarters fully realizes it, they are partners in this. Rather than bring a lawsuit against Nevada corporate headquarters for allowing those records to be taken, it was decided that it would be better if simply the Institute and Eckers were represented. This would stop any embarrassment. Betty could bring the books back. Everything would be lovely forever. So Court Christie is actually the blind party. I want it brought out that Mr. Christie would have been sued for allowing those books to be gone if he did not choose to participate in this way. Court will be there on Thursday, and he will be the major witness. I think that Brad should bring in to his own consciousness this part of the argument. Tootin was told all she had to do to be out of this case entirely was simply quit deliberately spreading untruths and try. Not even bring back, try to get back those books to their proper agent.